Ladies and gentlemen, Michael Batis said, amid hectic schedules and frazzled lifestyles, daily devotions, daily family worship, daily family altar, daily family devotionals allows the family to keep short accounts, first with God and with each other. And this is so true. Arguments or disagreements cannot long remain unresolved when the family joins daily to hear the Holy Scriptures, the Word of God, and read them and have them commented on with prayer and thanksgiving. Can somebody say amen? Now, this is true. I know it's hard to believe that when I tell you that we do not have arguments in our family. We have never had arguments in our family simply because of prayer and Bible reading every morning. In addition to that, when God would lead me to deal with issues in the family, based upon the Holy Spirit leading me in the Word of God, and as I've shared with you, we had devotions many days, 3 and 4 hours. Certainly, most days 2 hours. Very rarely, unless we're in a hurry to go somewhere, an hour. And one of the reasons is because God will lead you in devotions to deal with the ugliness and the sin in the family if you have, sir, ma'am, the boldness to deal with it and not be afraid, sir, of your wife, not be afraid, sir, ma'am, of your children. And you check their bad attitudes and their demonic attitudes and spirits right there in the devotional. And you correct things right there in the devotional. That eliminates a whole lot of wicked, bad behavior and totally eliminates arguments. Another reason why, as I've shared with you, we don't have arguments and fighting back and forth in the household. You got Christians now writing books about fighting fair and arguing fair and all of that. We don't have that. Do you normally argue with the police, Daniel Ezekiel? Do you normally, you need to take care of that. You need to help take care of that. Do you normally argue with the police? I don't. Police pull me over? Yes, sir. I have by the time he gets to my door, my hands and my ID and my insurance or whatever is out the door. Do whatever you need to do, sir. It's called authority. Do you argue with the judge in the courtroom? You're going to be put in jail. Argue with the police, you're going to be put in jail. They're not going to be on the side of the road arguing with you. It's a matter of authority. If you have a problem, you take care of it in the court. I got one of these tickets not too long ago in the mail where they say I don't run red lights. But they said I ran a red light. I don't do that. But they said I did it. And guess what I'm going to do? I'm just going to pay the ticket. That's all. I'm not going to go down there and raise my fist in the air and say, no justice, no peace. I'm just going to find the money and pay the ticket. So based upon the principle of authority, we don't have any arguments in our family. We're not going to have that. In fact, as far as I know, with exception when they were two of the sisters when they were little, I used to call one of them a little gangster. When they were little, I mean, I'm talking about 6 and 7 years old, they might have had a few words, but my daughter above them, ironed them out by herself. She was only 9 or 10 herself. She fixed that problem and got them to working together, and they've been that way ever since. So they've never, as far as I know, and this is the truth, I don't know of anybody in my family, any of my children, fighting with each other physically and all that kind of thing like that. And I've never heard any arguments between them, with the exception of, like I told you, two of my daughters back in the day when they're 6 or 7. I like quiet in my household. I like peace. I don't like cacophony. And you can have a peaceful household, sir, if you want that. And you don't have to run into a cave. You can sit right smack dab, a man cave, so-called. You can sit right down, smack dab in the middle of the living room so you can see everything that's going on. And so you can ask questions like, where are you going? What are you doing? Who's that at the door? And so forth. Okay? That's your job. Anyway, family devotions can eliminate a whole lot of that cacophony and confusion. And I'm amazed at how many people who thrive, if you will, in that kind of environment, who live in that kind of environment. I don't know if they're thriving or not. But who live in that kind of environment. It's better to live in a peaceful, quiet environment. And when the authority speaks, everybody listens, and they do what they're supposed to do. If they don't, there are consequences. Now, we have had some butt whippings, of course. Now, and that's one of the reasons why we have had peace and quiet in my house. Because if you adopt a demonic attitude up in my house, and you got a bad attitude, and you look like you want to say something back, then that's going to be your behind. Oh, yes. I do believe in corporal punishment. I believe in chastisement. And you say, well, I don't believe in that. I'm going to call family services on you. You said it with your own mouth. You doggone right, I said. And say, let them come over. I'm going to say, okay, if I cannot chastise my children, go ahead and take them now and put them in jail. Because that's what you're going to do in the future. You raise them then. See how good of a job you do. Because I'm going to do what the Lord leads me to do. And it works. Unlike my siblings, and I, if you will, all of us together, unlike us, my two sisters and my brother, none of my children have gotten anybody. My boys have not gotten any girls pregnant. My girls have not gotten pregnant out of wedlock, and they're all serving God with me. Are they perfect? No. Are they growing? Yes, by the grace of God. And one of the reasons why they're growing is because I will put the paddle to the behind if they get out of line. And it's amazing how they turn out if you do that faithfully, consistently, and without anger. So have family devotions and have peace. Insist on your family, sir, being quiet and peaceful and doing their work. and not keeping up a bunch of confusion and cacophony and noise. All that is unnecessary. Join me, ladies and gentlemen, in praying what is called the common prayer. And I, by the grace of God, made some changes to this prayer as well, this ancient prayer. And you can pray this prayer meaningfully if you mean it from your heart and if you engage your mind in what you're saying. Together, let's pray it. It should be to your right for those of you who are watching online. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have sinned and strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done, and there is no peace and joy in us. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us miserable offenders. Spare thou us, O God, who confess our sins, our faults, and our failures. Restore those of us, Daniel, Ezekiel, who confess our sins and repent, according to thy promises declared unto us in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life, to the glory of thy holy name. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. We are still in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. If you hate that, ladies, you hate God, because it's God's word. You can't love John 3:16 and hate the other parts of the Bible just because you don't like them and you don't want to do them and you're not doing them and you've already made up your mind not to do them. God knoweth. David Guzik writes in his Enduring Word commentary on the Bible, a wife, he continues to dig down deep on this, deeper than what I thought he would. A wife's submission to her husband is part of her Christian life and obedience. When a wife doesn't obey this word to submit to her own husband as to the Lord, she isn't only falling short as a wife, she is falling short as a follower of Jesus Christ. This is completely out of the realm of the wife's nature or personality. This has nothing to do with a husband's intelligence, giftedness, or capability. It has to do with honoring the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen, somebody. This has nothing to do with whether or not the husband is right on a particular issue. It has to do with Jesus being right. Can somebody say amen? This means that a woman should take great care in how she chooses her husband. Instead of looking for an attractive man, instead of looking for a wealthy man, instead of looking for a romantic man, and I know some women are saying, well, what in the world is left? A woman, I'm not, this is not my writing, this is David Guzik. Now let me spell it for you, G-U-Z-I-C-K. So you can find him and find out, who is this man? Okay, but he's digging down deep to help you now. Let's continue. A woman should first look for a man she can respect. G. Campbell Morgan recalls the story of an older Christian woman who had never married. She explained, I never met a man who could master me. Boom. 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 Three booms. Okay, now let me just share something with you, see. So to you men out there, who you think trying to be that romantic man, trying to be that cute, attractive man, you think trying to be that wealthy man is what it's about because you drive a nice fancy car, you think you hooking women who are about something. They whatever you hook them with is what you're going to have to keep them with. Let me tell you something about women, gentlemen. They listen to me. I don't care how powerful they are. They are wired to submit to a man somewhere and to respect a man and to want to please that man and satisfy that man and help that man. That is a part of how God has wired them. And if you don't have that knack, that understanding that God is trying to give you as a man, that you are, as I wrote in letters to young black men many, many years ago, you're the prize too, sir. It's not all about her getting flowers and her rings and bracelets and buying her chocolates and flowers and everything and opening her door. That's not what it's about. It's all well and good and dandy. But that woman is very powerful within herself, man. She wants to know if you can handle her and all of her, not in every area, man. She wants to know if you can, as this lady said, if you allow me to read that again in your hearing, about this lady who never got married. And this is one of the reasons why she never got married. My oldest daughter told me the other day, I asked her, I said, well, have you met a man yet? And she told me, these men ain't about nothing out here. That's what she basically told me. And I know this. She told me that they're just not even on her level. Why would you marry a man just to marry a man? And there's nothing, you can't respect the man. You have nothing to talk about. Your education level is much higher, and you're talking about big dreams and big things, and he's talking about playing a video. He's talking about playing a video game. Are you kidding me? I wouldn't marry. If I was a woman, I wouldn't marry these sorry butt men out here. Not worth a flip. And it's not just about your being handsome or cute or whatever, or you driving a nice little red car. Even that's a problem. Don't crack up on me. Just keep on doing your job. She told me this. And I know this is true. Why get involved with a man who's not about anything and he's still doing childish things and he's 30 years old almost? As I have shared with women in my book, Letters to Young Black Women, I wouldn't be bothered with some of these sorry butt men still all excited about playing video games. Don't know anything about the news, nothing to excuse me, you don't have anything to talk about? This woman explained, I never met a man who could master me. You understand, people? There are women, listen to me, people. They're women, you're sizing up women. The women are sizing you up, sir, and they can detect whether or not you can handle them. Whether or not you're big enough in every way to handle them. Are you a man who knows how to handle a woman? Without feeling intimidated. And feeling like you always got to buy a box of chocolates and some flowers. You don't listen to me. These women don't care about that, man. A woman wants to serve you and help you and love you and respect you. And deep down, this is how God wired her. And she wants to please you. And if you act like a man, she'll do that. And if you don't, even if you get her, you're not going to keep her. You're not going to keep her. Because you don't have the confidence within yourself, that thing that some men, few men have, where, and part of it is that, that thing where, you are powerful apart from her, in the sense that you don't need her to make you a man, like some men seem to think. Yeah, she helps me to be a man. Are you kidding me? She wants to know that you're all man independent of her, even though, yes, she'll try to control you. Yes, she'll try to manipulate things. And yes, you know, she'll say, you know, buck and kick at things, so forth. But she wants to know whether or not you're going to be able to stand, man. If you're going to be able to stand and handle all that. Her flightiness, her up and downness, her mood swings, her, her menopause, her periods, and all this kind of thing like that. Are you man enough to be a man, in spite of all that, and you're not going to let her have her way? You're going to stand your ground on what is right. And not to be the kind of man every time she moved to the left, you move over there, she moves to the right. No. She's not going to stay with you, man. She doesn't want you. And if she mad, she just mad you because her girlfriend got married and she wanted a man and the man. And then they go into the process of making a man. You know, many women are in the business right now of making their man. You know, they prop him up in the kind of car he wants with her credit. Prop him up in a nice house. Prop him up in a suit that he doesn't even want to wear. And he's dressed just fine because she's making plenty of money. And she wants a man so bad to be seen desirable by others and her friends and her buddies. She spends the first 20 years of her life trying to make a man. And here's the problem, gentlemen. If she makes you, then God didn't make you. And if she makes you, she's going to control you and everything else. And double dog dare you to challenge her. She will, in the words of one Jamaican singer, will be the bigger boss. And we got men today who can't make a move without checking with the woman who made them. My God, help us. I want my wife to serve me and to help me and to take care of what I want her to take care of. And I insist on her doing that. And I want her to take care of my children. And I want to take care of my children more than I want to take care of me. But my wife has never made me in any way, shape, form, or fashion. She is not the bigger boss in my life. God is. She never has been. She's tried to be. And every time she has tried to do that, I would rebuke her and let her know, no, woman, you speak like some of the foolish women. Get thee behind me, Satan. And I know some of you are, oh, I can't believe he said that. I did and have done it. Okay? So, be a man who can master. And all she's saying is lead a woman no matter what she does. Let's pray for the family. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know that this is sounds foreign to many people in our day and time, because people have done the family their way, and unfortunately the family is all jacked up because people have done it their way instead of the Bible way. And Lord, we pray for young families to do it your way. For some older families, sad to say, they've already raised their children and everything is already shot to hell, and it may be too late to do some of the things that I'm saying now for them. But some families can be saved. Some families can be salvaged. And we pray that they will take heed to your holy word, come hell or high water, to do what you told us to do. In every family, be it black or white, red or yellow or mixed or whatever, makes no difference. Whether there's great romantic love or not, whether there's money or not, whether there is continued good looks or not, if we choose to obey your holy word, it will work. So Lord, fill us with the power of your Holy Spirit to see that and to do that. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. ladies and gentlemen, our devotional Bible passage reading is Psalm 106, 21 through 27. And I feel led of the Lord to say this morning. I want to publicly thank my oldest son who puts together all of these devotionals. This is good for you to know that I don't put these devotionals together. So I'm not picking on anyone. My oldest son has put most of these together over the past almost a year, and he's done a pretty good job at it. I've had to get on about a few things, but I'm saying this to encourage him to keep on doing a good job for the rest of the way. And I thank God for the rest of my family who are doing their part as well, including my wife. Yes, my wife is right here with us in the family, and she hears everything I say and has heard everything I've said for over 30 years now. And it's a beautiful thing. Listen to me very carefully. It's a beautiful thing, whether you want to do something or not, to obey God. It's one of the most beautiful things on earth, is to obey God, even when you don't feel like it. Amen, somebody. Psalm 106, 21 through 27. They forgot God, their Savior, which had done great things in Egypt. See, this is precisely what I was preaching about yesterday, how God's people forget God. Not only do they forget what God has done for them, they forget God. Amen, somebody. It's tragic. And I don't know how, I don't understand this kind of love that God has for people who have been blessed by him in millions of ways, Daniel, Ezekiel, and they forget God and forget what he's done for them. is tragic. Verse 22, wondrous works in the land of Ham, and terrible things by the Red Sea. Therefore he said that he would destroy them, had not Moses his chosen stood before him in the breach, to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them. Yea, they despised the pleasant land, they believed not his word. One of the reasons why we become unthankful and ungrateful and forget God and forget what God has done for us is because we don't believe God's word. Daniel, Ezekiel, wake up. But murmured in their tents. And when you forget God and you forget the blessings that God has bestowed upon you and you forget God's word, you begin to murmur and complain. But murmured in their tents. Get to the point of blaming God and blaming others, and hearken not unto the voice of the Lord. Therefore he lifted up his hand against them to overthrow them in the wilderness, to overthrow their seed also among the nations, and to scatter them in the lands. God will chastise his people if they forget him and become unthankful and forget what he's done for them and forget his word and begin to murmur and complain instead of pray and read God's word. Now, beloved, regarding this passage, Dr. Matthew Henry said, even the true believer will see abundant cause to say, it is of the Lord's mercies that I am not consumed. Often have we set up idols in our hearts, cleaved to some forbidden object, so that if a greater than Moses had not stood to turn away the anger of the Lord, we should have been destroyed. Amen, somebody. If God dealt severely with Moses for unadvised words, what do those deserve who speak many proud and wicked words? It is just in God to remove those relations that are blessings to us when we are peevish and provoking to them and grieve their spirits. End of quote. Join me, beloved, now in praying for the estates and thanking God for his holy word. You know what the estates are now. Let's get right to it. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your holy word. And we pray that your Holy Spirit would drive your holy word into our hearts and help us to love it and to cherish it and to obey it and to share it with others even today. And Lord, passing out of tracts was mentioned last night while the true soul winner in our family, Danielle, was asleep. But somehow, after it was mentioned, it was not done. Forgive us of our sins and our failure to pass out gospel tracts on yesterday evening when it was mentioned in the car. And Lord, help us to make up for that today, and help us to do the digital track today. Make sure that that is done and sent over. over 100,000 need to be delivered. And I gave you the kind that we need to do. We need to send out. I want to do the second coming track from Fellowship Track Lead. And Holy Father God, bless and anoint and use those gospel tracks today as they're passed out. And we thank you for the new tracks that came in. And we pray for the tracks from California to come in. And we pray for now also church leadership and servant leadership. We pray for all pastors, all servant church leaders, all servant denominational leaders, Bible teachers, missionaries, and ministry workers. And we pray that you would help us to pray for revival. We pray that you'll help us to seek your face, to humble ourselves and to turn from our wicked ways in the church. For there are things going on in the church, Lord, in the words of James, these things ought not so to be. And Holy Father God, we pray, based upon your holy word, for the president and the government. 1 Timothy chapter 2 verses 1 and 2 says, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Holy Father God, we pray for President Donald Trump and his family and his administration, Vice President Mike Pence, First Lady Melania Trump, Second Lady Karen Pence, all White House staff, including Chief of Staff to the First Lady, Lindsay Reynolds, all leaders of federal agencies, including Chemical Safety Board Chairwoman Vanessa Allen Sutherland, all state governors, including Hawaii Governor David Igee, I hope that I pronounced his name right, all city mayors, including Omaha, Nebraska Mayor Gene Stottert, all members of Congress, including Arkansas Representative French Hill, all law enforcement officials, including Mesa, Arizona Police Chief Michael Vorak, all military leaders, including General James Mad Dog Mattis, especially Admiral Michael S. Rogers, Commander of U.S. Cyber Command and Director of the National Security Agency, leaders of nations around the world, Comoros, President Azali Assoumani, the Peace of Jerusalem as well. Lord, we pray for salvation, spiritual, family, financial, material, physical life, blessings to be bestowed upon all of these people. Have your Holy Spirit to not give these people rest until they come to know your Holy Son, Jesus Christ, as Savior. And we pray that you'll give these leaders and these people wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and insight. And Holy Father God, we pray for the people and the citizens in this country and around the globe. We thank you for some good things that are happening. But Lord, we pray for the salvation of the lost, the revival of the saved in the citizenry, and that Christians would rise up and be the witnesses that you want all of us to be in sharing the gospel with the dying and lost world. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the media, the traditional media as well as the new media. We pray for the salvation of those who are lost in media, revive those who are saved, And we pray that you lead them and guide them and direct them to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And Lord, we pray for current events around the world. We pray for an end to the flu outbreak in North and South Korea and in North America, for people are dying of this flu. We've never seen, I do not think, anything like it. We pray for the protection of the people there and those heading there for the Winter Olympics. For someone said this can become a petri dish of disaster. Not only for the Olympics, but also at the Super Bowl this coming Sunday. For the deliverance, we pray for the deliverance of Cape Town, South Africa, from drought, as many are preparing to have their water supply cut off. We pray for the comfort of the families of the 11 people killed and 16 people wounded in an ISIS attack on a military academy in Afghanistan. And Lord, we pray that ISIS would be destroyed. And we pray for the salvation of even these souls. In Jesus Christ's name, we continue to pray. And for now, we pray for the prayer requests. We thank you for entrusting us with with hundreds of prayer requests that have come in. And we thank you for these people, and we pray for salvation, spiritual, family, financial, material, physical, life blessing, blessings, and protection and provision blessings upon all of these individuals and their families. We pray for a few by name for the sake of time. We pray for Barry. Please have the problems on his wife's side of the family to be exposed and resolved. Provide them a place to live. Help Jean to make the right decisions. Heal Barry from his disability and provide them enough money. We pray for Arun. Please protect his wife who is pregnant and have her to give birth in a healthy manner. Make their child to be God-fearing, wise, and live long. Enable him to perform some temporary work for his job and find favor in the sight of his superiors. We pray for Martha. Please help her to repent of all her sins and bless her with a child. And Holy Father God, we pray for those who have trusted you as Savior. And Lord, help these to stand strong and to grow in the faith. We pray for Susan, we pray for Musisi, and we pray for Hebert. And Lord, help us to be the disciples of the disciples. And we pray for those who have recommitted their lives to you. This is an invitation that we don't give, but people hear the preaching of the gospel, realize and remember that they are saved, and they have gotten away from you, but they are coming back, and we thank you for that. Have your Holy Spirit to draw all of the backslidden back to you. And we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for these people. We pray for Emmy, we pray for Latanja, and we pray for Mohan. And we pray that they will stand strong in the faith. In Jesus Christ's name we do pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, beloved, our devotional reading for today is titled, What Makes God Smile, Part 11, from The Purpose-Driven Life by Dr. Rick Warren. He goes on to say, every human activity except sin can be done for God's pleasure. And this is so true. If you do it with an attitude of praise and thanksgiving, you can wash dishes and give God praise, repair a machine or a car and give God praise, sell a product and give God praise. Write a computer program and give God praise. Grow a crop and give God praise. And raise a family for the glory of God. Amen, somebody. Like a proud parent, God especially enjoys watching you use the talents and abilities He has given you. This is so true. God intentionally gifted us differently for His enjoyment. He has made some to be athletic and some to be analytical. You may be gifted at mechanics or mathematics or music or a thousand other skills. All these abilities can bring a smile to God's face. Amen, somebody. The Bible says He has shaped each person in turn. Now He watches everything we do. You don't bring glory or pleasure to God by hiding your abilities or by trying to be someone else. You only bring Him enjoyment by being you. Anytime you reject any part of yourself, you are rejecting God's wisdom and sovereignty in creating you. God says you have no right to argue with your Creator. You are merely a clay pot shaped by a potter. The clay doesn't ask the potter, "Why did you make me this way?" The clay just does its job. Amen, somebody. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we praise You and we thank You for making us. Thank You for giving us a heart that desires to be with You in the early morning and to fellowship with You, to pray to You and to hear from You. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank You for this time together. Fill us with Your Holy Spirit to implement everything that we have learned and heard and to obey Your holy word throughout this day, even when we don't feel like it, when we have to bite our tongue and obey You and do the right thing so that there can be peace in the home, peace in our lives, peace at the church, peace in the workplace. Lord, help us as Christians, though the stars fall, to be obedient. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for His sake. Amen. Now, beloved, if you have happened upon us from the WWW, the World Wide Web, Daniel Ezekiel, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and the free pardon of your sins, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation from that awful place called hell. First, dear friend, accept the fact that you are a sinner. You have done wrong. You have done evil in your life. I don't care who you are, white, black, red, or yellow, and that you have broken God's law. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Danico, wake up. Danico, wake up. Secondly, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. There is a punishment for sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages, the payment of sin is death." Nobody gets away. We're all dying, and we all will die if the Lord tarries His coming. We die physically because of sin. We die spiritually because of sin. Our body goes to the grave. Our soul goes to hell. And that leads me to my third point. Accept the fact, dear friend, that you are on the road to hell right now as I speak. If you've never trusted Christ as Savior, Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Now that is bad news, but here's the good news. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Pardon me. And just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins. He suffered, shed his precious blood, and died on the cross for your sins. Was buried, and on the third day rose from the dead by the power of God for you and for me, so that we can live eternally with him throughout eternity. Pray and ask him to come into your heart, dear friend, and save your soul, and he will. I'll be glad to lead you in that prayer. According to Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou you shall be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Dear friend, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray and ask him to save your soul today, and he will save you. Repeat after me and pray with me the sinner's prayer. Mean it from your heart, believing in Christ, and he will save your soul. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner. I admit that I have done evil in your sight through disobedience, through lust, through lying, through stealing, and other ways. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I believe with all of my heart that Jesus Christ suffered and bled and died for my sins as the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world, that he was buried and he rose again on the third day. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to truly repent and to turn from my old life and sins and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, you are now saved from hell and you're on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." Until next time, my beloved, may the Lord bless you and keep you. He is. my prayer.